You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I guess we can shift a little bit to how we'd fit with the Knicks. Like, you know, you touched on how D'Angelo Russell had freedom to kind of like take some mid-range shots, and that was cool. I mean, Marcus, you were a Knicks fan. Josh, I'm not sure how much Knicks you actually have watched or not the last few years. I wouldn't blame you if you haven't watched any.
It's like my favorite thing to do, so I actually watch a lot.
Well, they didn't lose to the Nets once Mike Miller took over.
Ayo. Yeah.
Do you think that, for our intents and purposes here, let's assume the Knicks' young core or guys that they have interest in developing further, let's say like RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson, I think obviously would be the two at the top. Mm-hmm. And then Frank Ntilikina and Kevin Knox. So like those four, I think, are the four that to some degree we can say with confidence, like at least it would be in the Knicks' best interest to continue to try to develop. Like, how do you see their, like, do you think he would be a good fit for those guys? What do you think he would kind of target? What do you think he could really improve on with how those guys play and approach the game and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think he could be really good for RJ Barrett if he is able to kind of like empower him the way that he did with a lot of the guards for the Nets. I think it also depends like who the Knicks wind up taking in the draft in October, because if they get a guy like LaMelo Ball or something, like who's going to have the ball in his hands, like I think that guy would probably become the focus of everything on offense. But mm-hmm. I think he'd be good for RJ, and I think he'd be good for Mitch, just kind of like we talked about, as like a rich man's version of like what Jared Allen could do. In terms of like a Kevin Knox or something, I'm not sure about that. I could see that going the way that it did for Torian Prince this season, where he like is kind of limited to his role, and because it's kind of like one guy handling the ball so much, it kind of forces everyone else into sort of stand around mode sometimes. And I could see that happening to Knox if I was just to look at like a negative. I think it would be good for like Trier, for Dotson, if he comes back. Like those guys would get shots. Those guys would get opportunities. And like a lot of those guys who we talked about earlier who maybe are buried on the bench, I think they'd definitely get a shot and an opportunity, which if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, at least you like know one way or the other.
He's definitely going to, I think Dotson is like a really good point, because he's at least a passable 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
Just needs that, especially with some of the other young guys the Knicks have. Like anyone who can like remotely hit a three, he's going to throw out there. So Trier, Dotson, I think will get a lot of run. And then with RJ and Knox, I think he'll at least put them in the right positions. You know, Knox will be like, okay, listen, your shot kind of sucks. We're going to put you at the four. RJ, you'll have more space to operate as a three versus as a two.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to kind of make up for some of the mistakes that the Knicks made last year, just bring on fucking 17 centers and at least try to right-size things a bit, where it's like, okay, if these guys are actually talented, they'll be able to succeed because they're in the right space, as opposed to overcoming for, let's say, potentially a lack of talent and playing out of position, which I think is, you know, a good starting point.
That's refreshing to hear. I definitely will say that, because it's just, I don't know. I definitely know for Schwinn and I, just like we had such a bad taste with Fizdale, just like not putting anyone in any sort of good position. It's just absolutely insane. And then just to have Mike Miller just be just competent was like the most refreshing thing ever. It's like, oh, we're going to have Julius Randle just go downhill instead of pretend that he's LeBron James. Like that's what Fizdale's approach was. So it's nice to know it's almost like a potentially like an upgraded version of Mike Miller in a way. Which is like it's definitely encouraging, because I think that's definitely a approach that the Knicks could do, and it would actually make a ton of sense. You guys didn't mention beloved Nick Frank Ntilikina though.
Yeah, there haven't been a ton of like players like that the Nets have had. I think a guy who had success earlier in the season this year before getting hurt for Brooklyn was David Nwaba, who I always loved when he was with the Bulls, and then
I love David Nwaba.
Like, yeah, that's like the kind of player that I like really love to watch, and he looked really good, like getting out in transition, playing a lot of defense and like just kind of knowing his role as like an off-ball guy who would like occasionally take threes, but is mostly just there to like cut and to defend the other team's best guy on the perimeter. And so that's encouraging from a Frank perspective, just like if he can figure out a way to like channel all of the things he is good at and kind of limit what he's bad at, that would be great, obviously. But yeah, it's interesting because Frank would be like a more high usage or like more minutes version of that. So I would be curious to see that.
I don't think Frank is going to fit in well with Atkinson at all. Cause like the thing with Nwaba, the reason why he's successful, like he's just, he's basically a short like three. And that's kind of how they has. So like, I think that's good, but he's a dynamic athlete. He can really finish at the rim. Like I don't, Penny historically, there's like, there's no one on the Nets roster. And I don't think he would have any use for this kind of guy where it's like an extremely low usage guard who can't shoot and can't really slash and kind of makes his money on defense. That seems like the type of guy where he's like, why the hell do we have them here? So I see someone that could get cut out of the rotation a bit. I mean, I'm interested to hear you guys. Do you guys think Frank has a significant future on the Knicks? Because obviously his last year of his rookie deal is coming up next year. And also, secondly, on Mike Miller, I thought he did a good job with the Knicks. So would you guys, with him coming back as the head guy now and removing the interim tag? Because I was actually, like, when the Knicks and Nets played, I was really impressed, first of all, by how hard the Knicks were playing.
Before we get to their answers, want to tell the listeners about rockauto.com. rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mike Miller was so much better than David Fizdale. I can't even explain. Like, it's hard to even, like gather myself to get into that.
It's probably, like, how you felt watching the Nets under Lionel Hollins.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Watching them under Atkinson, where it wasn't even necessarily that, like, Atkinson was this elite NBA coach, but you were like, okay, but he's an NBA coach. Like, he's an NBA coach, and these guys look like they're being, like, they know what the fuck is going on, and they have a plan every night of, you know, this is our identity, this is what we're trying to achieve. And, you know, with Fizdale, it was like, we had no fucking idea what they were trying to achieve. Like, we know what Fizdale wanted them to try to achieve. We know that he was, like, you know, wanted them to be downhill attacking and all this bullshit. But, like, none of it ever
materialized.
Whereas, like, as soon as Mike Miller took over, which is, like, you know, I'm not trying to gas up the job he did, but really to take over in the middle of a season where, like, everybody is taking shots at the Knicks because, you know, you took a swing and you totally fucking missed on stars and your pivot has been fucking awful and you're 4-18. Like, to take over in that situation and immediately, like, improve almost every metric of the team other than 3-point attempt rate, like, it's not an insignificant achievement. I'm not saying he's like fucking Red Auerbach and Phil Jackson combined or something, but it was like, okay, this guy is an NBA coach and he's got this team looking like an NBA outfit. So yeah, like I definitely liked Mike Miller and I have said as much. I would be totally fine if they were like, you know what, fuck it, let's just give him the job. I think that he, you know, he's not a big sexy name, like he's not a star coach or something, but I don't really think that, like, I personally don't really give a shit if you have a star. I don't know what a star coach even really means, like, you know, I don't understand the necessarily appeal of that. It's like, are you a good coach or are you not a good coach? That's really all that matters. As far as Frank goes, like, I wrote a pretty big piece on him this week. Is there a scenario where I would trade Frank? Yeah, sure. Like, I'm not like, you know, I don't think he's some untouchable piece of the future and like a future star or something. But Yeah, I would definitely try to hold on to him for right now, because it's like, what are we trading him for? Like, you're probably not going to get a first round pick for him. You're probably not going to be able to, like, he's probably not even the swing piece or significant, like, needle moving piece in some awesome star trade. And like, really, what fucking stars are even out there to trade for right now? Like Bradley Beal, and that's it, maybe. Like, you know, does that make sense for the Knicks right now? Probably not. Like, I would be pretty annoyed if the Knicks didn't just like keep hold of him and keep him in his bench point guard role, because I thought he was really starting to figure shit out this year. I thought that once Mike Miller took over, you know, not only could you not only was there a statistical improvement in his play, basically across the board, you know, you can go by any metric, basically overall scoring efficiency, assist rate, usage, on off, fucking anything, it all improved under Miller. Like, if you don't give that guy a chance to like come back in year four with hopefully some stability and keep his role relatively stable, then what the fuck are you even doing? What are you even trying to rebuild at that point? Yeah, I mean, I would be pretty annoyed if they just moved him for like a second round pick or something. I think that'd be really stupid. Because like I said, I think he's pretty close to figuring things out. And I know he hasn't shot the ball well through his career yet, but he's like 21, shot almost, 88% from the line this year. He shot 32, just over 32% from three, and just under 40% from the field, which is like shitty, but also a pretty significant, especially like the 40%, just under 40%, like a pretty significant step up for him. And like, it wasn't just buoyed by mid-range shooting, which is the big thing. Like, he was getting to the rim more, and finishing better at the rim. So like, you know, these are like the underlying things when you're talking about development and a player progressing that you want to see. And if you see it, like, you know, it'd be one thing if he was a third year player that was 24 or 25, but you're talking about a third year player who, when he was picked, everybody knew was an offensive project, who has now taken the fat, like his handle was improved last year, but he wasn't able to like turn that into any actual tangible, like, you know, improvement in his offensive game. And now you're seeing like, okay, now he's taking that and actually doing shit with it. So I don't know, like I would be pretty, I guess, a long answer. Yeah. I would hope that they view him, at least unless they, like I said, like unless there's some big needle moving trade out there that involves him, then yeah, I would be very, I would be annoyed if they tried to trade him then.
Yeah. And there's also like, he is an elite point of attack defender too, and that just, I don't think that could just be like overlooked either. It's just like, he has the size, the IQ, the quickness on the defensive end and stuff. Just like, he has one legitimate tangible skill in the NBA, and that's like legitimately locking down players both on the ball and off the ball. And it's just, it would just seem really weird for a team where, like, you see his shooting increase. It's kind of hard for me just to be like, someone who's shooting close to 88% from the line will probably eventually figure out shooting. It may not be elite shooting, but it'll at least be more closer to league average eventually. Like, it, that stuff to me, I'd rather play that out in the next couple of years and know the Knicks have someone who is as an elite NBA skill. Like, it's just, it's kind of hard just to give up on that player right now when he came into the league, like, you know, skin and bones basically as like a top-notch defender. And I think he's only gotten better with it. It would just be silly to just give up on that now, given his age. And that he has improved, even though the overall numbers don't necessarily suggest that, like, they look bad, but like, they improve from year one to year three, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah. And I would just toss out, like, I can't even stress how worthless the 104 games that David Fizdale coached were, like, for Frank, for Knox, for any of these young, like, there was nothing put in place to like to speak to what you said about how I was nitpicking with Kenny. Like, it was like, I was nitpicking, but what you said is absolutely right. That like, at the very minimum, you have to give him credit for like establishing conditions for players to like be able to grow. Right. And Fizdale established nothing in 104 games. There was no system. There was no, like environment for players to develop, to grow. It was just like a fucking free for all, and it was terrible to watch. And, you know, I'm sure enjoyable for a Nets fan to watch. But like, you know, as soon as Miller took over, you're talking about like Frank, RJ, and Mitch, like statistically, like tangible statistical improvement. Knox, not so much. But like, even with Knox, the defense went from like egregiously moronic to, okay, he's bad, but he's actually like understands where he's supposed to be and trying to get to those spots, if that makes sense. Like, you know, I cannot stress how worthless to me the sample. Like, I think David Fizdale really fucked up some of our player evaluation because we learned nothing about any of these guys for 104 games. It was just like, you know, it was a completely worthless, like, the way I try to think of it is like, if Frank had his rookie season and then he went from that to like doing what he did under Mike Miller the last 30 games of this season, I feel like we would all be like, oh wow, like he's trending up, like this looks like he could be a solid player, maybe like not a star but a solid NBA player. And that's kind of just like how I'm trying to view him and view Knox and view Mitchell. And like, I just like, I'm not even interested in the David Fizdale sample at this point, because I just think it's obvious that he was such a fucking like drag on individual and team performance, unless your name is Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Frank does in year four. I think this will be a critical point for him, because unfortunately, like, you do have to throw out the Fizdale sample size, but it did kind of, you know, the clock is still running on all of these guys.
Right.
Rose obviously has a lot of interesting decisions ahead, both with Frank and even Knox kind of in the next 18 to 24 months. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how it pans out, because the Knicks definitely have a lot of guys who broad strokes can be really, really interesting. But I think besides Mitch, none of them are surefire to even be like really good NBA players. So I think lower on Barrett than most. So I don't know. I think next year will definitely be a turning point for a lot of these guys and make or break one way or the other.
I think a lot of people are actually generally low on Barrett. I think it's only me who's actually high on him. Schwinn's kind of high on him.
I'm fairly sold that there is. I just cannot see a way that kid doesn't become a solid NBA player. I don't know if that means, like, I don't know if there's, I can't say for sure certain he's going to be some like huge franchise altering star. But like, he just works way too hard for me to think that he won't figure out a path. Yeah, like he's just too good to, or not too good necessarily, but like he just wants it too much. And I feel like you always bet on guys like that. You know, I don't know. I think as far as you mentioned, like LaRose has a lot of work cut out for him. I agree. But I actually think, like, you know, the Knicks have hired some, at least on the surface, smarter level dudes than they usually hire in the front office. And I think that, like, if they have guys that are more intelligent in their approach and more creative in their approach, I think, like, they have all the raw materials, really, that you would want if you're talking about a rebuilding team. Like, you have a bunch of cap flexibility to do a lot of things. You have 7 first-round picks in the next 4 years. You have, you know, like you said, I think regardless of how you feel about individual cases of young players, they do have young talent, and like there's always a way to grow that. And you know, you can either, like, I think that the Nets kind of did this right with, like, okay, maybe you can't use them as part of your core going forward, but you can do stuff like, okay, well, we will turn, and I know Bogdanovich wasn't exactly young, but like he was on a rookie contract, but it's like, so you can sometimes turn that and be like, okay, well, we aren't going to benefit from this, but we can trade him, take on like a shitty contract and get a first round pick out of it. Right. I think there's like stuff like that you can always do with rookie contract players. So I'm curious to see how they do.
That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. This was again, part 4 of a long discussion with the Posting and Toasting guys about Kenny Atkinson, his tenure with the Nets and how he fits with the Knicks. We will continue this discussion on tomorrow's episode of the podcast. If you missed it, make sure you check out our episode from yesterday talking about Spencer Dinwiddie being diagnosed with coronavirus, as well as some other news around the team, the Justin Anderson signing. Obviously, DeAndre Jordan has now also contracted the coronavirus and will not be joining the Nets in Orlando. Dinwiddie's status is still up in the air, so we will await more word on that. Regarding DeAndre, it's obviously going to mean a heavy burden on Jarrett Allen's shoulders now with no DJ and with no Nick Claxton because of the shoulder surgery. So we will see who the Nets sign to fill that roster spot and to take some minutes at the center position. So we will be back to talk about all that and more in the coming days and weeks. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at LockedOnNets. Josh is at JMBass_. I am at Marcus Barahal. We'll be back in your ears tomorrow continuing the Kenny talk. Until then, be well. Bye.